are taken into account in their funds to support administrative services that any of those funds receive from the general fund. And we were going to go through the funds just one by one in the order that you have in your book. And we do have the departments here to answer specific questions related to their budgets. The first fund is the, we also have the consolidations for you. If you noticed, Mr. Gwynn, you had asked about, would you be able to see where those object code consolidations took place? So we did provide for you the consolidation list of object codes, the way in which they were condensed. So on the left side of the screen, or of your book, you have the current year chart of accounts, and on the right side is the FY11 or proposed chart of accounts, so you can see where the consolidations are taking place. And we color-coded them for you just so it would be easier to see where everything collapsed. So in your book, when you were looking at the different expenses where you'd see a lot of zeros, say for advertising or supplies, they were condensed down into one line. And then we also provided for you the definitions of those account codes. We thought that would be helpful in understanding what types of expenses went into the different object codes. So are there any questions on the account consolidation or any of those codes? Okay. So the first one we have is the stormwater fund. We do have the stormwater utility that charges a fee. And we provided for you the rolled up organization chart of where the stormwater department falls. It is a division within the Department of Public Works. And we provided for you from the Department of Public Works the excerpt related to what budgetary changes or highlights are for FY11. So are there any questions on the transmittal letter submitted by the department? And again, I have folks here available to speak to stormwater.
Anybody have any questions? Okay. Go ahead.
When you roll into the fund itself, we have presented the revenue pages in green. That way they stand out from the expenditure pages. Stormwater fund basically has one source of revenue, which is the utility fee that they charge. They have a residential stormwater fee and a non-residential stormwater fee. And the total anticipated revenues for FY11 is 4.7. And are there any questions as to how stormwater generates revenue? On the expenditure side, the expenditures do total to the same 4.7. There are just a few minor increases in the stormwater fund, which were indicated in their transmittal letter. They had some consolidations of accounts. But outside of that, the budget is pretty standard and on par with the current year.
Just a quick question. You've got budget reviews, $4.7 million or $713,000. What's the difference? And then you've got department requests, $9.6 million, and 2010 actuals, $2.4 million.
The columns across the top, the budget review column encompasses the department operating requests plus the salaries. The departments did not directly input their own salaries. Those were input by the human resources area.
Okay.
So the request that we see from the departments directly was just what they were using for operating. And so the difference would be your salary accounts as well as their non-departmental expenses, such as a transfer to the general fund or debt service payments. Any payments that the fund is responsible for would be your difference.
Well, you've got 2009 actuals and 2010 adopted. Does that budget going to go down some $600,000?
The 2009 actuals are as of the date that we printed the book. 2009 is still not closed yet. The audit is not complete, so those numbers will be complete at some later date. The 2010 adopted and the 2010 amended columns are accurate. The difference between adopted and amended is the carry forward that we do post adoption. So projects that were left over in 09 that carried into 2010 are the difference you see from the 2010 adopted to the 2010 amended. The 2010 actuals column were the actual expenditures year to date as of the date that we printed. And again, the department request was their operational request. And the budget review column encompasses the salaries, the department operational request, as well as any payments or allocations that the fund.
Okay, so next year, do you expect this budget to be about the same, up, down, or what?
We expect the budget to be flat.
Okay, all right. Anybody else, any questions or Water and Sewer?
Before we leave Stormwater, yes, go ahead. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Mr. Brewster.
You may not be able to answer the question. Under Stormwater, we have quite a few items there listed, and I believe it's Stormwater. Let's go ahead and get that one right out of the way. Stormwater has the account for mosquito control. Did I miss it in here in the chart somewhere? Is it listed by chance? Because if I'm correct, so it is here? Does that number still reflect about $20,000 a year? We're not asking for an increase, even though we have numerous DRAs.
I'll have Lisa Greer. Yes, Lisa Greer is the fiscal manager for this particular area.
We had some calls this year on mosquitoes. They need a little bit more money. I don't know.
And I'll have her speak to that.
Yes, we are asking for $20,000 in professional services from mosquito spraying.
Just like Stormwater,
charging the street. And what was your question?
Do you feel that that number is going to be adequate enough for the coming year for us to take care of the problems with the DRAs that we're expanding on and so forth? Has that been enough in the years past? You've been in a crunch? Or
we didn't use it all last year, John. It all depends on what kind of a season we have this year, what we're going to rush around. Right now we're on even foes as last year so far.
So you think that's going to be adequate?
I think this year will be.
And that's under the 439 you said?
Mm-hmm.
At least. All right, if you feel like that's adequate, that's fine then. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Any other questions for Stormwater?
Anything else on Stormwater? All right.
Okay. The next area we'll move to is the airport fund. And again, for the airport, the first thing that you'll see is the rolled up organizational chart. The airport is a department within the newly formed growth management, I believe, is the new area we...
No.
Oh, development services, I apologize. In development services area. There we are, development services. Thank and we have supplied there. The memo, the transmittal letter from...
It's not newly formed, but...
The newly named. We have provided the transmittal letter from Mr. Groh, the airport director, and he is here to answer specific questions with relation to the airport. Again, the airport budget, there are not many major changes. We went through capital workshop and we saw that there were several projects that we would like to do pending grant funding, only one project actually being anticipated, which is the runway lighting. As far as the operational expenditures, this will be the first full year that we have the tower on hand, so we have the expenses for a full year there. But outside of that, there are no fee increases, Everything looks about the same. The budget is fairly flat from current year to next year. Would you like, Mr. Gresham? Ms. Macro.
Hi, Macro for the record.
Tell me about this runway lighting and the timeframe on when we're going to get that funded and how important is it to developing the airport?
Sure. Well, we just had the bid opening on the project. Engineer's estimate was $2 million. The apparent low bidder came in at about $1.3 million.
Okay.
We'll take that, submit that to the FAA in a grant application this Friday. We should see it back from them in a couple weeks.
Okay.
We can move forward on the project by the end of the summer, I think. To answer the second part of your question, right now, we have medium intensity runway lights. We don't have any taxiway lights at this time. The entire system is over 24 or 25 years old, and it's all direct Daria wiring, which means it's subject to everything from critters eating on the wires to lightning strikes,
right,
old age. So we've been experiencing a number of failures. The taxiway light system did fail, but we supplemented those with reflectors.
Okay. How long have they not been operational?
If I recall correctly, I believe we initially made application to get them fixed February of 2009. So we've been dealing with that situation since about then.
Okay.
We were denied funding last year. Now it looks like we're going to be getting it this year.
Okay. All right. Thanks. But you have any thoughts? Well, let me ask you this question, too. I mean, there's been some discussion, too, about a new FBO being at the airport. Tell me what the status of that is.
A new FBO?
Yeah. There was some discussion about us having an FBO out there.
Well, we always have people interested in coming in and competing with Landmark, both
okay.
from national corporations to people who are dissatisfied with
right.
Landmark. So they always inquire as to what they can do to sell fuel at the airport. Usually when we give them our minimum standards, the basics of what they need to do in order to conduct that type of business,
right.
they typically shy away. Fuel volumes right now are about 700,000 gallons annually. 650 to 700,000 gallons. The industry magic number, I guess if you want to call it that, is about 1 million gallons before you can even consider having two different FBOs
right.
for fuel. Because you want both to be successful.
Right.
So, there's nothing set in stone. I haven't been in any recent meetings.
Okay. But we, the city of Ocala, are not planning on getting in the FBO business.
I haven't been directed to look
okay.
into that.
Okay. All right.
Now, the Landmark agreement expires in 6 or 7 years.
Right.
So we're starting to have some preliminary discussions with them. And we've had some indicators there might be some other outside interest, but we've not received any formal proposals at this point.
All right. All right.
Hertz pay rent?
Is that, I'm sorry, was it Hertz?
Hertz.
They actually pay rent. They pay an office lease, and they pay commission sales about 3 to 3.5% off the every rental.
Where is that reflected in the line item?
It's all zeros.
I think it's combined. Give me a moment.
There's a line item on the revenue page. You would see commission commercial operators. It's combined. It's not called out by each individual entity.
Line up 16,000 commissions, commercial operating licenses. Hertz pays about $15,000. And that's a subjective number that's based on their actual activity. And then
There's more out there besides Hertz, right?
Yes. So yeah, there are others that.
The reason Hertz is still on here is because we can't take it off. There's what, three out there, two?
There are three runs of cars.
Three rental cars, so they're all up in the same category.
So part of the consolidation, grouping them into one another. But just to answer the question, they pay $3,000 a year on their term of lease.
Mayor.
Matt, anything on a customs agent?
Other than working with the EDC.
Yeah, we don't have that.
No movement.
So we're nothing planning in the budget right now for?
No, not at this time. I did hear, just since you brought it up, that St. Augustine now has a port venture.
It's still not helping us out.
Well, you bring up a good question. I mean, we're trying to develop our airport. That's one of the vital things that is important to do that. We don't even have that in our budget. I mean, why not?
Well, because the legwork to get one hasn't been completed. Right now, we don't have enough traffic to even justify it, and we're trying to build a case for it. Maybe, you know, we may have to call share. We may have to work with the private sector to help us do it. We're trying to look at all those other options.
Well, I mean, we had one before, but, you know, we didn't have enough to do then. And then, you know, the folks down at you know, the Villages made a phone call to the then Governor Bush, who called, I'm sure, his brother, and, you know, and our customs agent was gone. So, I mean, Congressman Stearns has offered to help us, you know, do this. I mean, we need to make sure that that gets done.
Well, it's in the game plan. You know, the funding for it, it's not in there mostly because we don't know how we pay for it. As you can see, this budget has actually dropped from last year, and could we get some development going to increase revenues?
Okay. Well, I mean, why don't we put that, given how long it takes things to get done, why don't we put that way up on our priority list, and let's actually work on that and make sure that gets done. You know, if it takes, you know, well, I know it will take work with the Congressman's office and FAA, but let's just get started on it. I mean, 2 years from now, we might have it done. If we don't start on it, it's not going to happen.
We've been talking about it for a while.
Yeah, no, and yeah.
So it's like you keep getting kicked down the road a little bit.
Well, we are working on it. We just don't have it budgeted, but it's a topic of conversation quite often in all of our discussions. We're looking at how we can leverage that, and part of that might be, you know, working with the FBO under a new contract, and if we can work with the FBO to share housing and some other duties and economies of scale, all those type of options. So,
what did you say about St. Augustine just earlier?
They just secured it.
And how did they do that?
There's a process you have to go through. You got to work with the governor.
Right.
Got to work with the customs department, but we also have to justify business here and formulate a game plan.
Well,
our previous discussions with the EDC have been looking at hiring a consultant through them to help push the customs issue through.
We don't need to hire a consultant to push from customs.
We had it before.
They did it, and I'm sure we can do it. So, anyway, anybody
else? We'll contact St. Augustine and see what they did.
Well, I mean, we know what they did. I mean, you just described it. I mean, all we have to do is get it done. You know, we've done it before. We can obviously do it again, but that's just politics, getting that done. That's all that is. So, anybody else have anything on that?
I have one for Matt. It's kind of off the record there. How do we stand with the hangar that belonged to Taylor Bean Whitaker, where the G5 was?
Oh, sure. They found someone to buy it, and the lease was assigned to the new entity. It's
State Treasury Department.
Ben Leon is the new owner, and so it was transferred and went through council last year.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
And a very nice looking jet.
Yeah. Glad to see that's not held up anymore. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Matt.
Okay. Is that all the questions for airport?
Okay. Yeah. Anybody else have anything on stuff else for the airport?
Mr. Horst, I know we're, can you just update? I know we're in the middle of procedural changes for the advisory board.
Yes, I met with members of the committee. We've had two meetings. I just got an email from them on some of the things that they're submitting to be relooked at. Matt's also making contacts with other committees at other airports to look at their job descriptions or what they're doing. So we have had a couple of meetings so far, and we're moving that together to put together a new game plan or a new,
okay,
basically job description for that committee, and we'll be bringing that back in the near future.
Thank you.
Albert Peake, who's no longer on the committee, has been sitting in with us as a part of that process too, because he's had some good ideas.
Very good.
Okay, this area is the golf fund, and we supplied the rolled up org chart, and golf is a division in their recreation and parks area. We provided an excerpt from the recreation and parks transmittal letter related to golf. As you are all aware, this year the only golf course that we have funded is the Muni Complex, and you will notice the decrease in the golf budget respective to no longer carrying the expenses of the Pine Oaks golf course. I do want to point out that the position request is actually an error on our part. We had a system error that is not a new part-time position that was already existing, so that was an error on our part. Again, you have the revenues in green, and then you have the expenditures which follow. The golf budget is decreased again by the lack of expenditures for the Pine Oaks golf course, and I do have Kathy Kreil available to speak to the golf budget if you have particular questions.
If I have any questions on golf, Dan, do you have anything?
No.
I don't think we have anything on that.
Okay. The next area is the sanitation fund. Sanitation is a division in the Public Works Department. Again, you will have the rolled up org chart to show where sanitation fits. The next page will be the excerpted transmittal letter from the Public Works Department. Speaks to the changes in the sanitation department expected for fiscal year 11. And I do have, Mr. Kearns, the Public Works Director, here to speak to sanitation if you have questions specific to the sanitation fund. Again, sanitation basically has two revenue sources. Their residential and their commercial sanitation fees that they collect, and they do operate within those revenues. And their budget is basically flat from the current fiscal year.
Council, as a sidebar, there is a new entity in town that wants to talk with us about options for curbside recycling. They've not come forward with anything formal at this time, and the budget doesn't reflect anything because there's no discussions, but we will entertain their proposal and bring that to you if and when it comes forward.
Okay. Yeah, we were talking about that with the Bean Coolies at one time, and the market kind of tanked them on that. It wasn't.
Currently, our recycling program, cost us a little bit of money.
Right.
That's an option that we can look at. And
okay.
If and when they come forward.
Mayor.
So, quick question. The commercial fees versus the residential fees shift about $200,000 one way or the other. Is there a different fee structure, or?
Yes, and I can have Mr. Kern speak to the fee structure.
Part of that's because there's less businesses.
Yes.
Glenn Kern, Public Works Director. Fees in commercial are based differently. Residential, they pay one fee a month. Commercial is based on size of the dumpster and how many times we go out there a week. Some of these places we go out five times a week, some of them once. That's why the difference are. We have 2-yard, 4-yard, 6-yard, and 8-yard dumpsters at commercials.
Just to clarify, there's no change in the fee structure, but there are change in pickup schedules for some of the commercials, okay, which may add or take away from the cost.
I guess my question gets more into is, on the monthly bill, is the homeowner going to see an increase, or are they going to see the same fee?
They see the same fee about how many times they get. They get picked up 3 times a week last year. This year is staying the same.
Okay, no, I was just curious if they're going to see an increase in the bill, because I saw a $200,000 more revenue coming in for it.
Our fee structure is staying the same.
Thank you.
They may have just requested additional pickups.
Right.
Are we?
Councilwoman Rich, do you have something?
If we can put money in here to tear down buildings downtown, we can't do it anywhere else in the city.
Yes, ma'am, we can.
Let's do that.
Good point.
Well, we're working on a program now to start to identify along the 40th corridor and a few other isolated areas. Thank you. I'll do that.
Councilman, our recycling is not really kicking in enough now to pay for itself. Is that what y'all were?
No, it's dropped. We, at the recycle centers, we used to pick up almost 2,000 tons a year. It's down around a little below 1,700 now. And, recycling has dropped off.
Any of our items, the aluminum, the metals?
The price actually dropped downward. Cardboard once was paying, it's back up at paying $110 a ton. It dropped down to where we had to pay to get rid of it. Now it has made its way back up again. So we are meeting, like you said, with different companies. Our issue here is getting rid of the recyclables. And there is 3 other companies that we're talking to, along with the county, about recycling and what we can do.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that may be something we can do together with the county. So.
Our county, city, private right. venture.
Right. Councilman Rich, I see you raise your hand. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Anybody else have anything? Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
The next area is the Water and Sewer Department. And you have the roll-up chart for the Water and Sewer. It is a department in the utility services area. You also have the transmittal letter supplied by Mr. Holcomb, who is the water and sewer director. Mr. Holcomb is present to speak to the water and sewer budget if you have specific questions related to water and sewer. And the budget is a reduction projected in fiscal year 11 versus the current fiscal year. Mr. Holcomb.
Chair Holcomb, Water Sewer Director. Hello, everybody.
Anybody have any questions for Jeff? Well, I guess my question would be, you said there's a reduction, Cindy. What do you attribute that to?
Luck.
No. Luck?
No, we have... We've worked really hard with looking at how we do business, and we looked at the CIP project, which you all were part of.
Right.
And we kind of stabilized the projects, and we looked at how we were doing business in the engineering side of it and tried to cut that back. Because if you notice on our cover sheet, we kind of had to bring in some more money to handle the water and sewer engineering part of it because it was being paid on projects before, and we pulled that back into our budget. So that reflected here. There's also some R&R that we looked at. They were projects that we pulled back out that really should have been, you know, part of what the funds are we have in there. So we pulled those out. When we started looking at all those things, we kind of fine-tuned the way we were doing business, and it's been able to reflect on that. One other thing we did is that we try to minimize. It's not going to be 100%. We're trying to minimize the amount of change orders and so on and so forth that we're trying to do. Sometimes we do pretty good, sometimes we don't.
Okay. All right. Anybody have any questions? Jeff?
One thing you might know there is that the revenues, they're down pretty good this year. And we think there's several reasons for that. It's been a wetter year, obviously, so, you know, there's less irrigation going on. We really do think that the word's getting out there, so folks are starting to conserve, and also we think the economy has a lot to play with it also.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Councilman Priest. Did you have it, when we had our CIP meeting, I believe you mentioned the fact that we were going to have, and we are in the process of waiving the sewer hookup, water hookups that we had been...
The foot connection charge.
Yes, foot connection charge.
And lower the impact fee.
Right, when is that actually going to be into place? When can the actual John Q. Public be contacting, make the process to start getting this underway?
You should be doing it right now, the last council meeting, you all, the second reading gave the okay for them to go ahead and start doing that.
Right, have you received any?
Not from me, probably from planning, maybe those guys can tell, but I know that we've had a lot of folks talking to us about different things, and a lot of folks were waiting for this time and period. They weren't capitalized with the Marion County's transportation fees and this, so we definitely had some movement.
Good.
Let me clarify, the front foot connection were immediate. There was a 90-day period required by statute for the impact fee, correct?
So, yes. So what we basically did is that the front foot connection charges are eliminated, and they can go ahead and wait till the CO of the building before they have to pay their impact fees. Mm-hmm. So we're allowing the 90 days. It was a requirement, it's a state requirement that we wait 90 days because there are some cases, very minimal, that this may result in an uptake of the impact fees, but we don't think that's going to happen at all.
What it means is 99% of the time impact fees go up and not down, so you try to get people by law 90 days notice. Right. I don't really mind not having notice that they went down, but still it's in the law.
Right.
I guess in question with that then, possibly with the lines that we have existing and we don't have meters out there for those homes because they're not on the foot connections yet, they're not connected to the city, do they by chance, or do they have an old meter there sitting there waiting to be hooked up?
You're talking about where you have existing lines now and people are paying availability?
Yeah, in subdivisions, paying at availability.
Right. No, probably the only thing they've had is they have, there are some cases like that, so I'm hesitant to say that, yes, but typically the line runs in front of their house and they have their own well. And what we're hoping is that by removing the front foot connection charges, some of those that couldn't afford to hook up otherwise who've been paying availability will go ahead and make it good for them to hook up.
Right. I had a citizen contact me, and she does have a well. And the city was down their streets here a while back, and they put swales on the side of the curbing. And I wasn't sure if they had meters out there or not myself. I didn't think they would, being that they never had that availability. It's a whole subdivision.
Right.
And it's on the northwest side. But in that case, then, we're also going to be down the road. You'll be back to council before long, I'm sure, asking for some new ARMs to be approved in the budget.
Well, we allow,
that'll be added.
We allow for a certain amount. It's in the budget already.
I think
if you look in, there's probably 300 or so. What we do is, for everybody just wondering, is we take a look at and project out what we think is going to happen. Of course, it's about everybody's guess what's going to happen right now, but we're trying to take the best stab at it. And so in the budget, we try to say that given the economy, we're only going to have so many hookups. And I think we've got about 300 in there. So we allow for some of that. And if it was a development, obviously development would pay for it. So
yes. Hookups. Thank you, Joe. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. President. Anybody have anything else? Okay. All right. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
I think the next section that we're going to look at is the electric fund. Again, for electric, you've got your rolled up consolidation chart. And electric is a department in the utility services area. We did provide the transmittal letter from the electric department, which speaks to all of the different areas within the electric department. And we do have Karen White here, who is the fiscal manager for utility services, to speak to anything in particular you would like to know, as well as Jerus, the electric director. And their transmittal letter was quite specific. I think they did a really good job outlining all of the specifics related to their fund. This is Karen White, the fiscal manager for utility services.
Good afternoon.
Good.
Overall, it's a reduction in the electric utility fund also. Major expense in this budget is going to be our FMPA cost, about 74%, so we don't have a whole lot to work with after that. So, but if you guys have any questions, I'm glad to answer them.
Mayor?
No rate increases.
I wasn't going to ask about rate increases. We had a presentation a couple weeks ago on some cost-saving ideas. Were those ideas part of the budget, or were they just, you know, those are nice people catch along the way as we implement those changes?
They're not in the budget. So we're not realizing the savings. If we're able to move forward, we will realize additional savings from what's in the budget.
Okay. Anybody have any? This is just telecom we're talking about now, correct?
No, this is all
the
money.
This is the electric fund. But I can also speak to telecom also, which is the next one.
Mayor, go ahead.
Rick, one of the things we talked about was adding some lighting in certain areas, and I see there's no increase in the budget in the lights. Is that going to come somewhere?
It's
revenue.
In the CIP budget.
It's in CIP budget, okay.
And that was for the West Side that's lighting right. Program. We talked about that.
Okay, just, all right.
Electrical costs are covered, but the actual fixtures are covered in the CIP.
The actual utilities associated with the street lights would be in all this space.
That's in the public works budget somewhere.
It's actually in the general fund budget, non-departmental pays those costs. So you'll see that at the next workshop, the electric utility charge, and you reviewed the cost to put in those lights at the previous workshop, which was the CIP workshop.
And then the maintenance is in this budget?
Correct.
Okay. Just checking.
All right. Anybody have anything else for Karen? Okay. No. Thank you.
That's one thing on electric. Mr. Wynn brought up at the TPO about the Sharps Ferry Bridge, and I've been trying to send some emails. I hope all of you received it. They are addressing that with FDOT, and even today, Randy Hahn provided a list of questions to them to help us with your issue right. About how can we lower those costs.
Yeah, I mean, I realized, you know, the issue about the poles being in, you know, the right of way, but somewhere in between $800,000 and zero, there's a fix, you know, that's maybe less than $800,000 or $900,000. So, all right.
The next area is the telecommunications fund, which is a division within the electric department. And we have the excerpt from the transmittal letter from the electric department that speaks to the telecommunications division. And then you have their revenues again in green, and their expenditures, and their Karen is available to speak to the telecommunications budget as well.
The telecommunications fund actually has an increase, but that's mainly due to shifting of the 800 megahertz operation from the police department's budget over to our budget, so it's just accounting for those expenses. But other than that, it's pretty much business as usual in that fund.
By having Daniel.
Automatic meter reading. Can you get an update on how that's progressing?
Automatic meter reading?
Joe Noel is kind of our project manager for the AMR project.
Joe Noel,
just curious how it's going.
Going very well. We are, as of today, we're communicating with 99.7% of our electric meters every day. That's great. That's huge. That's a big accomplishment. That's what we, you know, wanted and hoped for, and we're seeing it now. It's a big relief. We have pretty much all the loose ends tied up. We're fully deployed. There's one outstanding issue that Elster is taking care of, and we have about 4% of our water modules, not the meters, but the modules are having problems communicating, and about 60% of those is related to the battery going dead. And so Elster is formulating a plan how those are going to be changed out. But overall, the product is great, and we're right at the tail end.
Okay. And, I mean, and some of the other problems, anything to do, I mean, communications and frequencies and all of that, because I knew that, are we running into some of that?
Not at all. I remember from the beginning, we had to look into some issues that one of the other mesh, it was really a fixed-base mesh,
yep.
Itron was running into. And that was in Atlanta, specifically. And I looked pretty deep into that. And it seems the research that I had done at that time proved correct. We're running a quarter. The frequency that we're running, we're not having any problems in Ocala with. And the communication range is the reason why. We're only having to communicate up to about 800 feet. Where in Atlanta with the Itron system, they were having to communicate up to a quarter mile, and that's why they were having some failures and interference. But we're not having any of those problems here.
So we've got good coverage then, basically. We don't have any dead spots.
We've had no dead spots. There was a couple places in the propagation study. Beginning of the project, the staff demanded from Johnson Controls that we have a propagation study of showing exactly where each communication device will go, collectors, repeaters, and such. And overall, that worked great. There was a couple areas where maybe they made a mistake in their calculations. Cimarron, subdivision of Four Ranch, where it's a water-only territory, we've had to recently add a couple extra repeaters, two extra repeaters that weren't planned for in the project, but that was at the cost of Johnson Controls. That's it. I mean, that's the kind of communication issues we've had.
And as far as, I mean, I know we way back before that, but I mean, as far as revenue, I mean, we're almost accounting, I mean, we can just about account for, like on the water side, I mean, we pretty much can account for, I mean, what's our percentage, like say, is there any lost revenue where we think we're reading, you know, 100 gallons, whatever it is, but, you know, in actuality, we're pumping out 140 and we're losing, I mean, have we tightened those numbers?
Jeff Halcombe and Darrell have been looking at those numbers specifically about how much we're pumping out of our bins versus how much we're billing for. There are some differences. I don't know what work has been done to find those differences.
Sorry about that, Jeff. I just started going.
Over airport.
Good question. We actually are talking with Elster and AMCO now, Elster and JCI, to make sure that we cover all those areas because there are some issues that we're finding out there in the field, and they're fixing those up pretty good. And then to answer your question, what we did, some pretty cool new technology stuff. We take the technology they have nowadays for the aerials, and we overlay with the shape files. Don't ask me what that means. That's these guys talk. But shape files over that shows where the water lines are and water meters. And what we do is we're taking that with what is in GIS, what is in CIS, which is our billing system, and we're making sure all of those account for. And then what we take from that is we can go into the mass, they call it, in the AMR, and we can look inside there and see how many people that we have. In other words, how many population, how many meters that we have in the system. And we're comparing that with before AMR, so we make sure we don't miss anybody. And then we compare that with what we're seeing now, and then we also compare that with the GIS system. So we are looking at that number.
I mean, what are those numbers? I mean, do you have any yet? I mean, we come up with, I mean, are we inside, say, 5% or 10% or? I know at one time before, I think we were almost like, I don't know, I want to say 11, 12% kind of variance there.
About water loss percentage?
Yeah.
Water loss.
Yeah, at water loss now, that's a different animal. We're looking at now, and our consumptive use permit, we have to be within 10%.
Okay.
We're looking at now a little bit over that. So what we're trying to do right now is we have a team set together trying to look for ways. One way we're doing is we got with the fire departments from Marion County, because Marion County does come in sometimes and use our fire hydrants. So we're getting with those guys to give us a spreadsheet. We're also getting with our guys.
How about us give us a check instead of a spreadsheet?
I won't disagree. Spreadsheet. So we're getting with both fire departments.
Spreadsheet. They don't cash out at Bank of America,
right.
SunTrust, wherever the heck we use.
So we're looking at all of those, trying to bring that number down, and we're not there yet, but we're trying to get there. My thing is out in Las Vegas, they only have 5%. That's where I'd like to.
Yeah, I was going to say I know some other communities. Where can I get you started? The county's coming in taking our water. We don't. I hate to start, really, not to sound petty, but I mean, what just is a number that they may use come in and the county, the fire, you know, you're talking about the fire, I just, you got to go fill our trucks up? I mean, you know, you get a 1,000-gallon pumper and how many they got? And,
they hook up and spray constantly, too. I think the real key is just incident command sheets. And then it wouldn't be an exact science, but you'd have some science of water flow based on time of pumping and, you know, they should be able to provide some data. But outside of that, you know, some of your losses is just natural losses, leakage in old pipes and so forth. You sometimes have developers who don't always get a meter who hook up for different things, or building contractors who, you have accidents, you have flushing, there are a lot of different things. And but, you know, we can do what we can on the fire, but.
Are we getting anything from them? Or are they just? No.
Yeah,
are we?
We started getting, I'm sorry.
We finally started getting some.
Yes, yeah, we've been on pretty good.
Money.
We are getting some money, that's what I was going to say. Well, last year, as a matter of fact, the McDonald's over there by Mary Cam, there was a meter set on there, and they had it, actually, it was a Mary County meter, they had it chained around our fire hydrant, and they used, we figure around 300,000 to 500,000 gallons. They did pay us for that. So we got on to them about that. So whenever we can find it, we sure do try to get the money back.
Thieves,
but you had to find
300 to 500,000 gallons?
Huh. That's a drop in a bucket what we use every day. But
But he indicated that he just happened to find their meter on our hydrant.
Well, I was going to say, so their philosophy is definitely better to ask for forgiveness than permission kind of deal.
But just remember, though, I mean, we're using millions of gallons a day, and 300 or 500 gallons wouldn't be a whole lot. We are looking for all those places. Another thing we actually did is save more was that we've got a new water meter now. They're coming up with new water meters and sewer flow meters where we can actually get down to lower gallons per minute. You know, during, like at a hospital, for example, in the nighttime we don't use as much water. Some of that flow we weren't accurately catching, so we were missing some of that. So we've got new flow meters we're starting to implement now and put in place. And they're actually better and less expensive, and they're cheaper to repair, so we're doing that too.
Yeah, and I think you're doing a tremendous job. And it's not so much let's just go make sure what the county's doing. I mean, it's just all encompassing of our system, regardless of it's the county fire rescue or, you know, whoever's using it, that we able to have, that we can account for, that we have an understanding, like you say, within 5% of, we know that if we're cranking out, you know, X amount of gallons of water, that we're, you know, billing and revenue, everything's coming in for that, and we're not just have some way off skewed number that we're pumping twice as much water as we think we are, or just stuff like that. So I just, you know, the little things, I know it's a little 500 gallons from the county, but again, just a process where we know we can account. So
yeah,
it sounds like you're heading that way. So
we know exactly how much that we don't account for.
But that's a Yogi Bear thing right there.
What we're trying, what
when
we're
you
trying,
come to a fork in the road,
take it. What we're trying to do is reduce
that. She wrote that one down. Exactly how much we're not accounting for.
Very good. No, all thanks. Right. Appreciate it. Well, as a matter of fact, I do. Sorry, Mr. President.
Go ahead.
The.
I think he's got. For Jeff?
Oh, no. This is the fiber optic, and we're talking about the open architecture, and we just got a little status on that, or?
Yeah, is Joe, you doing that? I don't see Alan out there.
I know, I kept asking enough questions, I'd get you up out of that seat.
I know you would. Joe Roos, Director, Utility Services. We are preparing an RFP, and we'll be putting that out very shortly. I wanted to include some of Matt's comments, and he'll be returning from vacation.
Okay.
As soon as he gets back, we'll be putting it out on the street.
We do have a significant amount of interest. 4 or 5 parties have expressed interest at this point in time, including Cox, who originally wasn't interested. Am I correct?
That's correct. They still want to come back and talk to us.
Competition's an amazing thing.
It's a good thing.
It's fabulous.
Yeah. So appreciate it. Be watching that one with interest.
Joe, is that part of the revenue increase, is utilizing that? I saw there's an increase in revenue in the telecommunications, about $300,000.
Well, the revenue increase is...
we're seeing that much increase in commercial business?
We're hoping that, you know, off our estimates, that's what we're going to see. But it's tied back to this RFP.
Okay. Cool.
Very good.
Are we talking about just these hot spots downtown, or are we going to put them all over the city, different areas of the city?
We are doing an analysis to see if we can put them all over the city and what the cost will be.
I think our original intent would be target areas like, you know, Hampton Center area, our major parks, areas like that where people can come together, especially if we're successful down the road with the library and the Hampton Center and others. So we'd probably target 3, 4, 5 smart areas originally, where we have mass groups of people coming together and could benefit from that.
Because Florida League, not Florida League, but the National League is suggesting that all cities do that. And we have a terrible disaster. That would be a good way to communicate so people know what's going on.
Yes, it would. Remind me of an interesting article in the Star Banner, the gentleman sitting at Starbucks, and he was getting free internet from Starbucks, and he said, turned to find out he was getting it from somewhere else, and he didn't know who. Well, who was the city of Ocala? So, downtown is lit up.
All right. Anybody else have anything for Jeff?
That's all I have.
All right. Thank you.
That concludes all of the enterprise funds, unless there's any additional questions. The next workshop is a general fund workshop, which is on July 13th, which will be cover the general fund itself, and then we'll have the ancillary funds that are not enterprise funds, that are not capital, will come on with the general fund.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you.
Rick, do you have anything else?
Yes, sir. The following work session after the one she just mentioned is just when we present the tentative budget, which we're required by law to do. At that point, it would just be putting all these segments together in one package and getting them out there to meet the law. I would like to see if the council would consider, since that shouldn't take full 2 hours, if the council could maybe give me an hour, hour and a half to take all of you on a tour.
Yeah.
To see some things throughout the city that I'd like to focus your attention on.
Okay.
Just arrange for one of the SunTran buses. And
awesome.
Might need a little extra time. I took Mr. Gwynn on a short version of it the other day. And
it's exciting.
So
let's do it.
Sometimes it's hard to communicate. It's a lot easier to see it.
Right.
We can explain it and share it with you. And so we'll plan on that and give you more details as it gets closer.
Well, and just to tell you what progress we're making, I mean, these are things for your benefit. You've lived here. Mary, you've lived here. John, you've lived here. Mary, you've lived here for a long time. But on the north side of the boulevard, you know, Magnolia area, I mean, those are things that have been not being taken care of for 30 years that are finally, in a year and a half since you've been there, are getting done.
Let's do it.
Oh, and just one last thing. I guess everybody got a copy of this Florida Trend magazine. I guess everybody got an article about Ocala, Marion County. It's got must-know contacts in here. There's not one person from the city or the county that's listed in here. I would argue that there may be a couple of people that, you know, you might want to know from the city and county to do some things. But who is responsible for this article?
The EDC predominantly. There is an ad in here that we had a lot to do with. Though it looks like it's part of the article. This right here is actually just a single ad, which we had a lot to do with.
Okay.
Which is, but the rest of it, we didn't have much control over. I suspect then when they need some help financially, we can send them back to EDC then.
Mr. Morse, I do have one additional item. I just want to point out the book that you received today, in an effort to save dollars, we will not be giving you an additional binder for the rest of the workshops. We will be bringing you the pages to insert into your binder.
Okay.
So if you would please hang on to your binders, and you will get the additional inserts clipped together in the order that they need to be inserted into your book. So for the 27th workshop, by that time you will have a complete set of documents.
Okay, so should we take Because we have another one.
We have the capital.
Should we take this out and give you the binder back?
No, you can keep the binder. We will just...
I want to keep the CIP as a separate book.
The CIP is a separate entity, but we will bring you the Friday before the workshop. When you get your materials, you will get them clipped together, and you can just insert them in your binder.
Okay. All right.
There's always the possibility, can't we, we're considered, and they just editorially kept this all on.
They marked it out.
That's true.
And council, just so you know, immediately following these work sessions, we then put all this information on the internet for all the employees to have access to. We want to give it to you first, but we've had some very positive feedback from our employees about seeing it up front and inviting them to ask questions and challenge the status quo as a part of the process, so.
And I'll just generally, those cover sheets that each of the departments put together were very helpful going through and reading it and understanding it, and especially the ones that really went into a lot of detail were very helpful, so.
Yes, thank you. And you will have those. In the general fund, it'll be a little bit different because the departments in the general fund don't have their own revenue sources. So in the general fund, you will see a cover in front of each department. So each area respectively within the general fund will have the similar cover letter to explain to you what that area does and what their changes are.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. If there's nothing further, we'll be adjourned.
Thank you, council. And again, council, if you have any questions in the interim, let us know.
Got it on my phone with me. I took a picture of it. I was just going to tell you one. Yeah, I took it for that reason. I'll stay and call you later on for you.
Dan?
But a lot of the
not till Thursday afternoon.
Yeah.
Let me get you that.
Relationship type thing.
I'm sorry.